Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf lamed. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amud, as you recall. Yesterday we started the Mishnah, and we learned that a father has 5 chiyuvim towards his son. One of the 5 chiyuvim is lelam dei Torah. You recall that Barry asked yesterday, how does this Mishnah get here on daf choftes in the Sechtes Kedushin? So the Ritva says, it gets here because one of the 5 chiyuvim that a father has to a son is lahasiyoi isha, to marry him off to a young lady. And our Mishnah is talking about our sechtes, talking about isha nikness, to get married. So therefore, that's the connection. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, one of the 5 things is lelamdoi toira, and that's what the Gemara is going to focus on now. Ad heichon, 10 lines from the top. Ad heichon chayiv odom lelamin es b'nei toira. How far reaching is this mitzvah to go and teach your son toira? Amr dinam shmur ki goin zvulin ben don. Rashi says Zvulun ben Don was the name of a Talmud that lived at their time, during that time. Shalimdei Avi Aviv, not his father. His grandfather taught him. Mikra, that's Tanakh, and Mishnah, Mishnayis, the Talmud, and the development of the Mishnah. Meaning when it says Talmud, that means the Purushim on the Mishnah, like we have in our Talmud, explaining, expanding, expounding on the Mishnah. And Halachas, Halacha Lamaisa, Bagodos, and Midrashim. So he taught him a wealth of Torah.
The grandfather.
The grandfather. So it would appear from what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul's telling us this story, going to Zvulun ben Don, that the chiv of a father is to go and teach his son everything from A to Z, or Aleph to Tav. Meisa would have a braisa, lamdoi or limdoi mikra, eimalam de Mishnah. Once the father has taught his son mikra, you don't need more than that. Rashi even adds, when it says Torah or mikra, you don't even need the full Torah. Chumash is enough. You don't need nach. Torah v'lein neviim b'ksuvim. Our Gemara says mikra. The same thing. Anyway, what's the point? The point is, I see from this braisa that as soon as a father teaches mikra, he teaches chumash to his son, he was already yoitz his mitzvah. He doesn't need to do anything more. The Amar Rava, Rava says, mikra zu Torah. When we say mikra, we mean Torah to the exclusion of the nach. Is a chzayah shver. Shmuel is going directly against this braisa, where the braisa says that chumash is enough, and Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says, "At heichon chayiv odom lelamed, how far-reaching you have to teach him everything." Kol haTorah kula. Now, if Rav Yehuda Mishmuel were just saying that it's a nice thing to do and it's a responsible thing to do and it's a good thing to do to teach him everything, that's fine. But Rav Yehuda Mishmuel is responding to the Gemara's shayla, "At heichon chayiv odom, how far-reaching?" Says Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, "Everything." And the Braisa says, "No, mikra is enough." Everything in Mark is willing been done, but like his willing been done, his willing been done, Shalim de Abi Aviv, like his willing been done to Ilu Hassan Mikra Mishnah Metalmud. Halach Zvah Godus, Ilu Hacha Mikra Belevad. What does the Gemara mean to say? What it means to say is that when Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel answered the question, Ad Heichem Chayiv Od Malamit, when I told him, we had assumed until now that we were talking about what is the volume of Torah, the quantity of Torah that a father has to teach his son. That's not what really Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel was focusing on. He was focusing on the Ad Heichon, how many generations? Meaning, I might have thought just a father. No. Even a grandfather should have, has this mitzvah of going and teaching his grandchildren, just like Zvulun ben Don, that his grandfather taught him. And so therefore, what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is telling us is, in response to the question, Ad Heichon, how far reaching? We mean in Doireis, in generation. Oh, grandfather. In terms of the volume of Torah, it happens to be that the grandfather taught him everything from Aleph to Tav, but that's really not necessary. All that's necessary is a minimum of learning Mikra. If you learn more than that, you see, if you look at the Rashi, Kizvulun ben Don, about halfway down the Rashi, Kizvulun ben Don, Shulim de Avi Aleph, but Heichon, Nami to Kamrinan, but that's what we asked at the outset. What means that Heichon? Hachi Kamrinan, Ad Heichon, Odom Chayv, Lumay Torah, Bidoy Roisav. How far in the generations? Amar Rav Yehuda, not only Benoi, but even to Ben Benoi, even to the grandson. Where does this mitzvah come from, that even the grandson? And that's what we're going to see now. The Gemara is going to bring a bunch of psukim. Vavi Ovim Mi Machayiv. Is it really true that a grandfather is a chiyuv? Atani v'nu d'braisa. V'limadatem oisim es b'neichem. and we darshin b'neichem v'loy b'nei b'neichem. This, of course, this limaritim is a pasuk that should be very familiar to us because it's part of Kriya Shema. It's ois beis and Torah are limaritim oisim as b'neichem l'daber b'mishivtcha b'isecha v'latcha b'aderecha v'shavcha v'kimecha. It just says b'neichem, and this brisa says b'neichem v'loy b'nei b'neichem. So that's just the opposite of what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel was saying, that it goes to the grandfather. Ah, you're going to ask me, Mani Mekayim, but I have another pasuk where it says Vaidatim Levanecha full of Nevanecha. So that sounds like you got to go and teach your grandchildren. So if you're more Malach Shekolam Aramid, it's Benoit Toira Malo Vekosim Gila Limdei Loi Ula Benoit Ula Ben Benoit Ad Soif Kala Toirais. So therefore, that pasuk is telling us not that there's a chiyuv to go and teach a grandchild. What it's telling us is the great ma'ala that a person has, the great tzchar that he has if he teaches his son Torah. Because if he teaches his son Torah, then there's a good chance that he will teach his son, and he will teach his son, and that the legacy is going to go on for many generations. But if he's not going to teach his son, then the whole thing is going to stop there. Ah, so therefore, v'idatu v'nech v'nei v'necha is not a chiyuv to go and teach your grandchildren, but really it's a musahaskel, it's a nice way of expressing the idea of the tremendous schar and the fruits of his labors that the person will get if he teaches. You teach your own son. Oh, the Torah treats it as if. So in Bazoi is the Chshver on Biyudah Mishmul that said that there is a Chiv on Avi Aviv, Ad Heichen Chayiv Odom, even Avi Aviv. Every more who the Omer ki haitan, Shmuel said, Avad, there is a Braisa which you just quoted, true, but there's another Braisa. And in fact, it's a Machlokes. Sadi, we learned another Braisa. How do I know not only B'neichem, but also B'neichem? Remember, the first Braisa said B'neichem, V'loi B'neichem. Here the Braisa is saying just the opposite. How do I know it's not only B'neichem, but it's also B'neichem? Oh, Tamalim, from that passage that we just had. You should go and teach not only your children, but even your grandchildren. Oh, is there a good of you? Shmuel hangs his hat, so to speak, on that price, and it tells you the Chiyav even is grandchildren. How are you going to dash in the first pasuk? That there is no mitzvah to teach Torah to one's daughters, only to one's sons. So that's Benechem v'loy b'nei seichem. Omer b'shul levi, kolam lamed is ben benoi. Torah, whoever teaches his grandchild, malo olav akosav kilo kibla me har Sinai. The Torah treats this individual as if he had accepted the Torah from Har Sinai itself, he in person. Shenemar v'idatul lenech v'nei v'necha, and the pasuk continues on v'samachle. Yoi mashir amad al neishem lekecha bechoyrei. Choyrei, because it's a reference to Har Sinai, and so therefore that's what the pasuk is telling you. If you look at Gimel and Dalit of the Torah Arash Olim, right before the end of Gimel, it says, Voidatu v'necha l'vnei v'necha, then continue the next pasuk, Yoyim ha-shamat l'vnei ha-shamat m'kecha b'choyreit. So when you are teaching your grandchildren, Malav HaKosav, as if, oh, you accepted it in Har Sinai, you're continuing the legacy of Har Sinai. Says the Gemara, Reb Chiya bar Abba Ashkechei v'Reb Shu ben Levi, D'shodi disno areshei, V'komamti levi enuka lebei k'nishta. Gemara tells us, Reb Chiya bar Abba met Reb Shu ben Levi, and he saw that Reb Shu ben Levi had run quickly out of his home in the morning to take his child to the shul, presumably to the Malamit, to learn. But what he saw was very fascinating. The Shodi Disna Reishi put a Disna on his head. What is a Disna? This was a hat equivalent. Not really a hat, but something that one puts on if you don't have a hat available. If you look at the next Rashi, halfway down the Omid, the Shodi Disna Reishi, Sadin. Sadin literally means a sheet. Shena Roy Latifas Reishi, the only you wouldn't put on your head. Ela kisib alma some arayshi, but he wanted to have something on his head. So he lechel begili arayshi. He didn't want to walk around outside with his head uncovered. Lehispik lehisati besuder. He didn't have enough time to find the suder that he would normally wear. Remember, we said in the Gemara yesterday that the Talmid Chacham used to wear a suder on their heads, and he didn't have a suder relative. easily available. And so therefore what he did was, he took a distance, like taking a towel and putting it on your head. People are smiling. Why are you wearing a towel on your head? You want to wear something on top of the head, so you wouldn't go without anything. So he took his tzitzit to be smashed, to Knesset. Oh, Malay, Michael, Lehi. So now, Reb Chia Bar Abba asked Reb Shimon Levi, why did you run like that? You mean, couldn't spend another 30 seconds finding a hat, finding a yarmulke, finding a put your towel on your head. Shmata on your head. Oh, Malay, so he told him, Mizuta my tzitzit. Are you looking at this as being zutta, as being small, what it said in the pasuk? Vaydatam levenech, levnei venech, v'samach le'yoyim ha-shamat, levnei Hashem le'kecha b'choyrek. Therefore, when you are bringing your child to the cheder melamed to go and learn, you are reawakening in our minds and in our hearts what it says in the Torah. This is like the day of Chorev Bar Sinai. Can you imagine on the first Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan when the Torah was given, how people came to Har Sinai with a tremendous feel, and then afterwards when they heard the call from Hashem, they all walked backwards 10 mil or 12 mil, whatever it says, Limor Masechta Shabbos. They were full of aim of the Yira, Reses Vizier. What a great day. Every time a child is learning Torah, it's like a Chayiv, like Har Sinai. When Reb Chiya Bar Abba heard these words from Shimon Levi, they really penetrated his heart. From that time and on, Reb Chiya Bar Abba le toim umtza. Umtza means a piece of meat. And Rashi says that in those days, the custom was that they would eat a little piece of meat for breakfast. Today people would say, we'd go aghast, how could you drink coffee then the whole day? So I guess they drank black coffee without any milk, or maybe they didn't drink coffee at all. Anyway, the point is that they used to go and eat flay shakes in the morning. So it says, like Tom Umte, he wouldn't even eat a piece of meat, ad mikri liyanuka, until he would first take his child, and Rashi says, review with him what he had learned the previous day, and then he would add an additional pasuk to what he had previously learned. So first they did chazara, and then they did a musaf, they added, and only after that he said, okay, now is the time I can go and take a bite to eat. Similarly, Rabbi Rahuna, Leitoim Umtza, the Maisli Nuka, the Beis Midrasha, he would make sure that that was the first thing on the agenda every day. Before he would go and take a bite to eat, he would go and take his tinnik to his medish to learn, because of the great inyan of teaching children and future generations. Toyin. Omer Afsaf, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shub, Ben Chananya. My student said, the Pazi Shinantel, Venecha, Al Tikri Vishinantem, Ela Vishilashtem. More is bothered by, says Rashi, it could have said, Ushanisem. Why does it say Vishinantem? So therefore, don't read Vishinantem, Ela Vishilashtem. The question is, how do you convert Shinantem to Shilashtem? So the Maral says that if you look in the first of the two nuns and Vishinantim, it has a dogish in it. Whenever you have a dogish in a letter like that, it often means that you read it as if there was yet another ois. In other words, that dogish tells you that the ois should be repeated twice. That being the case, Vishinantim is as if it has three nuns in it. If it has three nuns and it's telling you to learn three nuns, therefore telling you Vishilashtam, divide up your learning in three. La'olam yachalish adam shnoisav shlish b'mikra shlish b'mishna shlish b'talmud. Oh, so that's the three nuns in Vishinantam. Only there's two nuns, but there's the dogish and the nun. It tells you that you learn in three sections: a third mikra, third mishna, third talmud. That's one pshat. The Maharal says another pshat that since it doesn't say Vishinisam, it says Vishinantam, so the nekudos of Vishinantam are the same nekudos as Vishilashtam. So therefore, combining the two, the three nuns, and the same nekudos, it tells you that you should learn throughout your lifetime a third based on mikra, a third based on mishnah, a third based on talmud. The obvious question is, if a person knew that he's going to live exactly 120 years, 40 years he can go and learn mikra, 40 years he can go and learn mishnah, and 40 years talmud. But not everybody lives to 120. And therefore, what happens if the person lives a shorter lifetime? How will he know to go and divide it up? He'll split it up in terms of the days. Rashi said days means Yimei HaShavua, which presumably would mean Sunday and Monday he devotes to Mikra, Tuesday and Wednesday to Mishnah, Thursday and Friday to Talmud, and presumably Shabbos would be a Zaman Chazar. So now the problem of course is, but does a person know that he's going to live throughout the week? Chas Shalom, there are many people that pass away not only on Friday night, but they pass away on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays, etc. So how is he going to be Mekayim that Shemeshalish Odom Shnoitzav, even the days of the week? And because of that, the Tosis in the middle of the Omid on the left hand side disagrees with Rashi, and he says that every single day one should split up. Not Yoimi means days of the week, but every single day you should divide it up a third, a third, a third. But is that the case? We all learn a third of the time Mikra and Mishnah and Talmud. So Toisa says, number one, that's the reason why you have the Seder in the Siddur, that prior to Pesukei Dezimra, you have the whole Karbanis, but it's not only, we call it Karbanis, but there's much more to it than just Karbanis. You have Pesukim, and you have Mishnayis, and you have Talmud, all there from the beginning of davening until Pesukei Dezimra. Why? So that you should be Mekayim already, at least partially, every single day, the part of the day you have been Osek at Mikra, part of Mishnah, part of Gemara. And finally, the Tosfos says at the end, that that's one of the reasons why our Gemaras are called Talmud Bavli. Bavli, it is Belula, B'mikra, B'mishnah, B'gemara. The Gemara is Bavli, Bolul, Nekulam. Every single day. In fact, today, as you can see, how many psukim have we already learned? That's all part of Mikra, including Nach. And how many times we've referred back to the Mishnah and the Braises, and all of this is Gemara. So therefore, already Mekayim, in what we've learned so far today, already the third, and the third. Okay, so Gemara is Vaita. Doesn't say necessarily it has to be exact thirds. It means that you should go and split it up, that you should designate and allocate certain time for Mikra, for Mishnah, and Talmud.
Where's Rashi?
It's Rashi about 10 lines at the bottom of the Amid. You see it says Yoimi, Yemei HaShavua. Those are days of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And the Tois is in the middle, like Tzvich HaLiyoimi, see on the left hand side, middle of the Amid, Peter Kuntres, Yemei HaShabbos, Kulayma, Shnei Yom Mikra, Shnei Yom Mishra, Shnei Yom Mikra. Well, I in the Hira, Dim Ken HaKati Ab Motzal Mifrach, Mi Yod HaKamachai, he doesn't know how many days. And then the Fayez, Bechol Yom Yom, Atzma Yishalish. Okay, Tiken, Beseder of Amram, Goyim, Koshon, Nagim, Bechol Yom, Koyim, Sukkot, Zirma, Loima, Mikra, Mishra, Megemara. That's where you have the Ezel Mekayim Shal Zvachim. All of that in the beginning of the davening to Yimakayim. But then Tam Pirush and Asayimchen on Bovel Blula B'mikra Mishnah. Okay, at the end of the text. Back to the Gemara. Zok the Gemara Vayter. We're on the third wide line.
The Bovel
means Blula.
Mixed. Mixed. It's all mixed.
Blula.
Vashem Sharon comes from Bavel. Now, if he drush, it means that it's Balul. So it says Bavel, Balul, it's close enough. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Lefichach, Nikru, Rishonim, Sofrim. Because of that, therefore, Fich means therefore, thus, accordingly, Nikru, Rishonim, Sofrim. I don't understand what that's all about. Well, where's the Lefichach, Nikru? So Rashi is also bothered by that. If you look at the Rashi was right after the Yoimi, the Ficha Nikru, Lutzabah Benafshi, it's a Tzanai Yazach. Really is not related to what we were talking about before, even though it's the Ficha. The Meiri says, however, that because we see that the Gemara says that a person should Mishalish Chodim Shnoitzav, Shlish Mikr, Shlish Mish, Shlish Talmud, it means that he should do calculations what he's learning, and therefore he should be medactic even on the Pratim and the Prati Pratim, even on the details. And we'll see what that means based on the next Gemara. Lefichach Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. The original Talmidei Chachamim were called Sofrim. Why were they called Sofrim? Not because they were able to write mezuzahs or tefillin or sefer Torah, which are Yisoyfim Kol Oisim Shebetorah. They would be so medactic on the Torah that they would even count how many letters are on the Torah. Shei Yoimim, they would say, Vav Digochein Chetzion Shel Oisiyoy Shel Sefer Torah. You have this, by the way, in many of the Chumashim. They will show you when it comes to the word gochain. Here, gochain is a pasuk kol hoylech al gochain, bal kol hoylech al arba ad kol marba reglaim. It's a pasuk in Parshas Shmini. So when you get to that vav, that's exactly half of the oisis and the Torah. And when you get to the pasuk dorosh dorash moishe v'hinei soirav, where is that a pasuk? That's a pasuk a little bit earlier in Shmini, maybe Kitzhazria, Tzav, yeah, whatever. He was very upset, Moshe Rabbeinu was upset that they had burned the carbon.
That was not very much.
was an acrimis. So doyer doresh chetzi shalvev. It's in Vayikra Yud. You can look it up when it's convenient. Acrimis starts roughly Yud Zayin Yud Ches. So this is a little bit earlier, probably in Parshas Shemini, because Parshas Shemini talks about the eighth day of the Aseret of the Shivas Yemei Miluim, eighth day being Rosh Chodesh. On that Rosh Chodesh, that's when they started bringing all the kavanos, and then unfortunately another Aviel killed, and then Aharon ate some and didn't eat some of the other kavanos, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was a little upset. Why didn't you go and eat up the carbon? And then Aharon gave a gun to answer. Anyway, so this Doresh Dorash, that's Chetshin Chultekis. That's half of the words in the Torah. And then there's another pasuk, V'hiskalach, V'yasanesek lo yigaleach. What does it say about that? That's half of the psukim in the Torah. So until now we spoke about the Torah. Now we go off to Tehillim. The word miyor has an ayin in it. That ayin diyar chetzi shulton. That's halfway of Tehillim. So if you've gotten to there, you know, you've already said half of Tehillim.
What's the purpose of knowing Zion? Nevertheless, that's not
new to us. No, he wants to show how their knowledge of Torah and their love for Torah was such that they knew how many oisiyas he had in the Torah, how many psukim, how many tevois. Every part of the Torah interested them, and the Meiri says, you learn from this, vis-a-vis our learning, that one should learn b'pratiyus, b'prati dinam, not just learn the big picture, but in fact to go and be medayik, every word, every osad, everything is a dover choshev.
Also allows them to pace themselves. If they know, for instance, I look in now, I say, Tilim Pei is halfway of Tilim. Wow, that's pretty late. Mm-hmm. There's all the other problems. So you know if you get a sense of your pace.
You have 150 kapitlach altogether, half would be ayin hay, 75. So pay is a little bit further on. So apparently the kapitlach of Tilim and Til Pei are a little bit shorter, relatively speaking, to those afterwards, and that's why it takes 80 to get to half, and the second half is only 70. Bear in mind, of course, your test is the largest, and that's part of the latter 70. Anyway, continuing on, that's after the psukim in Tilim. So that's now the connection, Lefichah Mikro, that when you're learning Taka Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, learn it like the Sofrim learned it, that you knew every letter and every word and every everything. You know, the famous story of Chaim Kanievsky, that they asked him how many times did it say Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. I think he said, if I'm not mistaken, 85. 85 times it says Moshe. He said, yeah, we looked up in the computer, and it said that it's 87. So he said, yeah, well, you should check it out. Look in the Chumash, you'll see that one of them is the Mimat Habayis Miois Miser. That's Mem Shen Hei. And then the other one is the Anan Hashem Limosha Mikerva Machna, Mem Shen Hei. He didn't need to look it up. He knew he was a Soifer that knew all the letters and all the words and everything. There was they say that B'Shem the Vilna Goyen, at the very beginning of Sechzes Gittin, we quoted this, that one of the reasons why a get is called get is because you don't find the two letters together. But and then he had another five or six, you never find a Zayin and a Tzadik together, and you never find a Yin. He knew all of this, not that he counted every one, he just knew it from his familiarity. Absolutely brilliant how he knew all of these things. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, there's also another Gemara at the end of the Masechta Soita that Omer of Yosef, Al Tikri Anova, the Ika Ano. Right? The Gemara says, Mishabay, Meis Rabbi, Batla Anova. Says Rabbi Yosef, don't say, end the Soita. Al Tikri Anova, the Ika Ano. So that, of course, everybody asks us the obvious question. How do you go and say about yourself, don't say modesty has died, I'm around, I'm still modest. So they say, B'shem the Vilna Goyen, there's a Vilna Goyen said, the Ikana, that if you look in Yerushalmi, there's a Reb Ana, and therefore the Gemara is telling us over here, don't say modesty has died, because Reb Ana is still a very modest individual. So they told us from Chaim Kanievsky, since he heard this already 50 years ago, for 50 years now he's still looking for that Reb Ana in Yerushalmi, he still hasn't found it. So either the Vilna Goyen had a different edition of the Yerushalmi, many of you may not have heard this, that says at the end of Soita, Al Tikri, so they say B'shem the Vilna Goyen, the Ikanova is a Reb Ona in Yerushalmi, and he is the big modest individual that he's referring to. They told us to Chaim Kanievsky, he said, yeah, he heard this word already. For the last 50 years, he's been looking for this Reb Ona in Yerushalmi, he still hasn't found it.
He's so modest, he's hiding.
He's hiding, exactly. Anyway, Boy Rav Yosef, we're talking about Rav Yosef. Vav de gochay mehay gisa oy mehay gisa. Since you said that the vav happens to be chetzit shaloisiyas, so which half is it? Is it the last ois of the first half, or is it the first ois of the second half? Which part of the mehay gisa? Amalei neisek dem. No, let's go and take out a sefer Torah and let's look it up and see. We'll see clearly. Nili amar Rabba Bar Bachana leizod mishamet sheviu sefer Torah manu. Don't you remember the famous story? What was that famous story? Lizos Misham. Says Rashi, Rashi, five lines from the bottom. So, don't you remember the story? Lizos Misham, they didn't move from there until they brought a sefer Torah to go and count. I don't know when this story ever took place. But the point is, we can do it now. Take out a sefer Torah from the Ored. We'll start counting how many oisis till Gochen and how many oisis till the end, and we'll figure it out. They were baki chaseres v'yaseiris. We are not baki. Meaning that even if you take out a sefer Torah today and look and say, oh, there are exactly 3,000 oisis until here and 3,000 oisis right there, that unfortunately may not be reliable because we may have lost a drop of the mesoid when it comes to chaseres v'yaseiris. And in fact, even today, they say that the Yemenite Svarim have 8 or 9 differences than what we have in our Svarim. And even occasionally Rashi in Chumash says that this pasuk has a vav mole or chaser, and in our Sefer Torah it's not the way Rashi quotes it. So you see that there have been, fortunately, over the years. And they used to be the Sefer Torah Shel Ezra in the Beis Hamikdash, but unfortunately that was either destroyed or it was lost, and so therefore we don't have the benefit of being able to look to that. Anyway, by Rav Yosef, his galach, mehagisa oy mehagisa. One of the Meforshim said that that's the reason why when you write a Sefer Torah, you don't make a bracha on writing. After all, we just had it last week, Sedra, the week before. So why don't we make a bracha when you go write a Sefer Torah? Chamitzah. The answer is because, unfortunately, it might be chaser or yeser, it might be possible. So we do the best we can, but that's the only Sefer Torah we got. We'll make a bracha. Some of the Meforshim say that's why we're nervous. Okay, anyway. Boy Rav Yosef, this galach mehaikis mehaikis. Again, the same question. This is galach, Gemara said this galach is chetzyoy shel psukim. Is it the pasuk from the first half, second half? Amay abay psukim mia leisa lemnuye. So, no, at least the psukim bring out the Sefer Torah. Let's go and count the psukim. Even when it comes to psukim, how many psukim we have, we're not baki. Well, what does that mean? Of course we're baki. You can count the psukim, very simple. The next pasuk that we're going to read now, which is quite a lengthy pasuk, in Eretz Yisrael, they read it as 3 separate psukim. Which pasuk is that? You have pasuk Yud Aleph. Our Gemara only quotes part of it, but we'll see the Torah or HaSholim quotes the whole thing. Now go down to Yud Aleph. You see it a long line. So they divided this up into 3 separate psukim. That being the case, so we don't know how to go and count it. This has halachic ramifications in the tshuva of Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe says that if, in the Shulchan Aruch it says, what happens if a Bal Koreh read 2 psukim for an ole, and then obviously everybody knows you got to do a minimum of 3, and he made a bracha lefaneh, a bracha l'achareha. So Shulchan Aruch says that you have to, unfortunately, he's going to have to make a new bracha and read 3 psukim, either the old 2 plus 1 more, or I think he has to start from the beginning, from where he left, from where he leaned initially, 2 psukim, and add 1 more, and then he makes a bracha l'achareha. But Rav Moshe says that if it's 3 very long psukim, not 3, if among the 2, if between the 2, one of them a very large pasuk, a long pasuk, you might be able to rely on this Gemara that really it's more than just 2 psukim, that he actually read 3 or 4 psukim because it's the long pasuk. Halacha lemaisa, go and ask a competent Orthodox rabbi or make sure that the Bal Koreh does a good job. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, the Yemesh of Rav Moshe, and the Alecha, we have said that. Turn it about. 3 lines to the back. Chamesh is a love. In the Sefer Torah you have 5,888 psukim. Yes, all of Tillim, if you look in Tillim, you have an additional 8. In other words, you have 5,896 psukim. At 88, the 96, you have 8 more. Rashi says, not Rashi, but Tosis says, this is a great sapella, because Tosis is Yishonim in the middle of the Amid, before the Leitzrich HaLeyoimi. So it's a little bit out of order. Yes, all of Tillim, Shmoyne, you see Tosis, Taimas, the Alkarche B'chumish Yesh Yoyser, the Philip Yil, Suke Tehillim, the Gimel Tevis, Bulvod, Ainik Kolkach, Kemush Yesh B'chumish. Take every 3 words in the Tillim and say, okay, this is a full passing. Ashu Ish Asher. First 3 words, make that weapon. Halach Matas Yisharim. 3, etc. Take every the entire Tillim, break it up into Psukim 3, 3, 3. You still wouldn't get to as many Psukim as you have in the Chumash. And yet our Gemara is saying that Tillim there was 8 more. So Asko brings from, I think, Oitzer HaGoinim or something like that, that in the good old days there were Tehillims that were printed Oriach al Gabi Oriach. In other words, they were printed like the Shira. Shira is actually a Riach al Gabi Levena. But like Hazino, like we're reading this week's parasha, right? You have 2 columns, and that they would have the Tillim written like that. And sometimes in the column, the number of words is only 2. If it was a long 2 words, and in other words, because it was done in a poetic, a beautiful format. And he says, if you count all of those together, you'll see that there were exactly 5,896 such pieces or parts of Psukim all together. That's what he brings here from Oitzer HaGoinim or something like that. Okay, so continuing on. And that is the Tillim. Choser, the Menu, Dibi Ayomim Shmoin. If you go to Dibi Ayom, presumably Aleph and Beis, and the Goin adds, and he adds the Neil as well, then you'll find that there are 8 Psukim less in Dibi Ayom than you have in the Torah and the Chosh. Tanarabat, Mishinam, Dibi Torah, Mechudon, Beficha. Now this, of course, is not based on 3 nuns or anything. The word shanoin means very sharp, right? We always have by
Shinna, Rabbi Yehuda,
who's speaking to you, and he says Shinna is the long teeth, the sharp teeth, or the sharp one. So here, Mishinam, the term should be sharp. Yeah, I see.
Yom is the same number as Torah.
Eight less.
5,880.
Eight less than
the Torah. The Torah is the standard. 5,888. 5,896 fragments in Tehillim, 5,880.
If it would be 8 less in Tehillim, they'll be exactly the same.
Same as the Torah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're doing beautiful.
That's on the reference in terms of the Torah. That's the best. That's the base.
Right. He had 8 more and he had 8 less.
Okay.
Well, it's enough. Even if you only have that much time to go and learn, and you want to learn that amount like the Torah, so you know the Dibur Yom is going to take a minute less, and Tehillim is going to take a minute more because it has 8 more and this has 8 less. Okay, turn about the shinantim. She did retire in Mechadam Beficha. It should be clear, sharp in your mouth. She misho Mechadam Dabar. When a person asks you a question, Al Tadam Tegam Game Betrayim Alai. Don't mutter and don't mumble and grum
and stutter.
And stutter. Oh, very good. Stutter. Emolay Miyad. But it's not only that you should answer immediately, but Rashi says that he should be able to go and give him not just a superficial answer, but an answer in depth. See the last Rashi, Mechadam Beficha. Chazor Aleim, do Chazor. Going to the depth. He'll tell him in the full parameters. You know, well, I remember we learned something that up. Be able to tell him. El emel miyad. She never says in the pasuk. Emel achoch ma'achoisiyot. What does it have to do with anything? Says Rashi. Just like everybody knows that his sister is osur to marry, osur to him. Everybody knows that with the greatest of clarity. Same thing as Emel HaChachma. You're talking the Chachma. It should be just like your knowledge of your sister, that you know it with all the particulars, all the dinam, all the pratim, you know it with great clarity. Boy, now the Gemara brings another series of psukim, all to emphasize the inyan that it should really be on the tip of your tongue when a person asks you a question. You should be able to tell them immediately. What's the lashon Gemara? So we have another few psukim. They should be engraved on the luch of your heart. So heart, of course, often is a reference to one's head. Singly, beinu binah. So the heart means that the brains, that the head. So it should be written and engraved on the luch libecha. The oimer kechitzim liad gibar kein b'nei anu urim. Chitzim, of course, are like arrows in the hands of the Gibra came in Urim when people are learning. Why Ibn Urim? Rashi says in the second line, Talmidav Shal Odam Kakriyim Bonav. So you're learning with your children, with your Bonim. They should be able to go back from the Shir as if they have arrows in their hands ready to go and shoot like a Gibor. We're not just talking about arrows, we're talking about arrows which are Shenunim, which are Bishinantim, which are sharp. If you have good sharpened arrows, then the other nations are going to fall from before you because you're will have successful ammunition. The word ashba, of course, here is not referring to a garbage dump, but ashba is the container in which you put in all of your arrows when you're going into
a quiver,
war.
A quiver.
Good. Lo yevoishu kidabru es uivim bashar. Now the pasuk, as we just finished off, this Ashrei Yagev Shemili Asesh Pasoi, says Mai Esoyim Bashar Omer Reb Chiya Bar Abba Omer Afilo Ab Ubenoi Rabbi Talmidei Shoyzkin Batoira Bashar Echad Nasim Oyvim Ze Es Ze. When a person is learning with his son or with his Talmid, often they will have a dispute as to the meaning of what they are learning, and they might start getting angry at one another.
Never happens here.
If you go into many yeshivas and you walk down in the besmedesh, you can't hear yourself think because the people are screaming at each other, "No, you're wrong. What does the Rajba say? What does the Rabba say? What does the Rambam say?" However, by the end, hopefully that we have here too. That's what happens there. Shenema is very besufa. I think besufa ela besufa. Yahava at the end.
How's the vision sufa understood? At the have besufa.
As very besufa is chon iron. This is part of the poetry, which is a end of Pashas Balak, I believe. If you al king he Omar sefer Muhammad Hashem. That's why. So this is part of Isa Bila Mishalav Ayomar. Says al king he Omar sefer Muhammad Hashem. It's going to be inscribed in the sefer Muhammad Hashem. It's void the sufa gets and cholim arnoin. Worship shot sufa is like a yamsuf.
Thank you.
And vohev may be the name of a place near next to the yamsuf, next to a suf. Suf doesn't have to be that. The yamsuf is like where reeds and marshes are and things like that. Turn about. It says in the pasuk, "V'samtem esvay eila alavavchem." What means "v'samtem"? Sam tam. Nimshla toira kisam chayim. The word "sam," of course, is a potion. Sometimes "sam" can mean a poison, but of course, it can also mean a good medication. So "sam tam" is nimshla toira kisam chayim. The toira is compared to a medication that gives life. It's a formula that gives life. Give me an example. What do you mean by that? Rashi says samtam very able. You see the third narrow line of the Rashi samtam sholem. The word tam means it's mimus sholem. She'ein chosur shematzala. Once you have this medication, you take this remedy, you don't need anything more. So the Gemara gives us now an example. Moshali adam sheikas benoy makdoy. Person ever gave his son a big patch, and then apparently even bleeded or bled. Therefore, he put a bandage on the makah. The amuloi bini calls mancha tears on makasa. As long as you have this bandage on your wound, achoy masha an oscha, eat whatever you like. Ush say mancha an oscha, drink whatever you like. Or a choitz, and you can go and take a bath or a shower, being mechamim, being betzainim, hot water, cold water. Veinat mesyare, and you have nothing to worry about. As long as this bandage remains on the arm of the hand, on the wound. But if you take it off, harihi mala numi, chas shalom numi are gonna come out. What a numi! Rashi says tzimachim, there'll be some growths, borfalish balaz, whatever that means. But presumably means that chas shalom there could be an infection that can get in. That's why it's important to go and put the anti whatever cream, antibacterial cream. Thank you. And then you put on the bandage, etc., to make sure no bacteria, no germs, whatever. Kachem kodesh baruch hu omalam yisrael bni. Barasi Yitzhara. I created the Yitzhara. Ubrasli Torah Tablet. But Torah, that's the Sam Tam, that's the Tablet, that's the remedy. The amount of Moishkim of Torah, if you're going to learn Torah, ain't after the Sun Beyond, you don't have to worry about the Yitzhara. Shinema. Halayim Tatum says, Him ain't after Moishkim of Torah, about the Sun Beyond, Shinema, the Pesachatus Roydates. What's the right from Haloi Imtaitiv Se'ez? Rashi says Taitiv is a reference to the Torah because it says about the Torah, Ki lekach toiv nasati lechem, Teirasi al tazaybu. Simtaitiv means you're going to learn Torah. Se'ez, then you'll be victorious over the Yetzirah. However, it may not be Moitz Torah, but if you're not learning it, unfortunately, the Yetzirah will take over you. Shinem la pesach chatas roiveitz. already crouching at the doorway of your home is the chait, represented by the Yetzirah, that he's going to try to entrap you. All of his masur matan. In other words, Yetzirah is going to put away all his other business affairs, and he's going to be oisik in that Torah, and that person that is not oisik for Torah. Shenema. He's gone to Chuka. His whole desire will be to go and sneer and capture this guy that's not learning. If you want to, in other words, go back and start learning. Rashi says, asoik b'Torah. In other words, it's never too late. Go and say, you'll be Moshe against the Yetzer, you'll be in charge. So that's why Gemara says it's a samtam, it's a great remedy. You learn Torah and you'll be able to be victorious against the Yetzer. Yetzer is so bad or so difficult that even Yetzer, even its creator, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu, called him Ra, Shenema Kireit Yetzer Leiva Odom Ra Min Urav. Kadosh Baruch Hu implanted in each one of us Min Urav from infancy this Yetzer Ra. That Yetzer is Ra. Oh, Rabbi Yitzchak, Yetzer Shel Odom is Chadash L'Bechol Yoyim. Every single day the Yetzer Ra has brand new ideas and a brand new program. Shenema Rak Ra Kol Yoyim every day. Every single day the Yitzhara not only wants to go and take over, but he wants to chas v'sholem kill someone with, of course, all the averis. This Rosha, the Molech Kodesh Baruch Hu, if it wasn't for the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu helps him out, he would never be able to succeed. Shenema. And we continue on the same pasuk. So if Rosh Hashanah Vakish and Misai, and the Kim Layaz then be other Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to leave him empty handed. If you learn Torah, you do mitzvahs, Hashem will help you out. Tanur Bishma Bni in Pogba Bakom Manuval Zeh, if this Yetahara, this manuval comes to you, Mashchelu Bismedish, bring him around to Bismedish. Because once you start learning Bismedish in Evan Hu, Nimuach. If it happens to be a stone, it will melt. It will dissipate. V'im barzel hu misvoitzitz, and if it's a shtik barzel, piece of iron, then misvoitzitz, it will smash to smithereens. It will blow up into pieces. Shenema, haloi koyt vore ke'esh, v'yom Hashem, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are like fire. And therefore, when it's fire vis-a-vis the Eben, it will cause the Eben to be nemuach, then it will start melting. It's like a patish, like a hammer, an anvil, fight seller, and cause a seller to go and shatter into many, many pieces. That's what the Gemara says in Evan Unimuach, Shenemar. How do I know the Evan is considered to be that it's going to melt as a result of the Eish? All that's in the pasuk is Halei Koyd Vorbikation of Hashem. It doesn't say what the result is. It says the Gemara, the Evan and Nimuach, it's going to melt. Shenema hoy kol tzomei l'chila moyim. Whoever thirsty, go to water. Ein mayim ela teira. V'yoyim ravonim shachiku moyim. Ah, v'yavonim shachiku moyim. That these stones have now disintegrated. They've been ground as if into water.
Dissolved.
Very good. Into water. Ah, so we see that ravonim get dissolved into water. How does it happen? The eish causes it to melt and to dissolve and becomes like a liquid, like water. There's one problem with this drasha. The problem is, it says barzel hu misvoitzitz, that barzel, that iron or metal, is going to go and be shattered into many, many pieces. However, the pasuk more brings of kapatish shafoitzitzela, it's the patish that causes the sella to go and be misvoitzitz into many different pieces. It's not the patish that's misvoitzitz, it's the sella that's misvoitzitz. So this is not my kasha. Toys already asked this kasha. If you look at Toys in Basel, it's Foytzitz. Teima dokrom mashu shapatish mefoytzitz selo meshabrei. The poshim shad, the posik is that the patish, if you bang it enough times against the seller, the seller is going to fall into pieces. So that's to be misfoytzitz, not the barzel. The hammer will stay intact. V'chein kasha b'perek din momenis. You have the kamer ma patish meschalik the kamer nitzoytzis. It's many little sparks, little pieces. After return meschalik kametam. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. It's the sella. It's not the barzel. The yesh sham goris rejbam mechalik instead of saying mischalik, no michalik. The loy garsin and mischalik. The yesh goris kan im barzel hu mifafeya im sella hu mispoitzitz. Ah, so we add im barzel hu mifafeya. Mifafeya presumably means also dissolves. While when you're talking about the seller, mispoitzitz, that's the one
that shatters.
Oh, shemekah, the way it's kaish. Kapadri foitzitz, seller, sheish mefafeya habarzel, it causes it to dissolve. Kapadri mefoitzitz, the seller, like we just said. The Rebbe Tamar Farish is telling him the Shabbos Habazo. He learns Taka Pshat in the Pasuk Haket. That it's the patish that breaks and shatters as a result of the cell. If you have such a good, strong boulder, like sapphire, sampirion, you bang and bang and bang it, instead of the stone shattering, it's going to be the hammer that's going to shatter. I believe the same thing is diamonds today, that you can bang on diamonds numerous times, and they're not going to break, and the thing that you're banging is going to break. But don't try it out. And then you'll see when it's a real diamond, it's an artificial diamond. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so you have different pshatim in this, whether it's the Barzim is pointed, the Selim is pointed. So the Gemara writes it. The next thing that a father has to do with the son of Asiya, he should go marry him off. We know, it's in the Pasuk. Chunashim go and take women, vaylidu banim, ubanois, and have children. Chu levneichem nashim, and go and take for your children. Ah, so this is the makar that a father lasiya isha. Chu levneichem nashim. But the pasuk continues on, as benoiseichem tenu anashim, and make sure that your daughters are given over in marriage to menfolk. Great Gemara. The first part of the pasuk I can understand. Mishloim benoi biyote. The son is somewhat under his aegis and auspices, at least until the age of 22 or 24, like we said yesterday in the Gemara. Once he gets older than that, he moves out of the house and he doesn't ask for your opinions anymore. But when he's younger, you still have a certain degree of control. So therefore, you can guard yourself. If you find a nice young lady that you feel is appropriate, you can suggest it for his son, and hopefully he will take your suggestion and everything will be great. But is his daughter in his hands? Even if he can suggest to his daughter one of the shidduchim. But it's not up to her. It's up to the menfolk. If the man doesn't even want to go and take her out on a date, then how is it possible that it's not up to him? It's up to the father of the bocher, up to the bochram. After the mahachik amar lehu, nitin lo midi v'lavshe v'nechasya kihech v'kavtza lo inchi. Make her to be an attractive young lady, that she will attract a bochum to go and marry her. How will she be attractive? Give her midi, in other words, either we're talking about give her money, and therefore we have a nun, or give her money or clothing, that she should go in a dress, in an appropriate dress, in a chasin, she should be covered appropriately, so that people say, oh, she, nice looking girl, and like that. And then they start talking to her. They find out she's a godly Balas Midas, and she's a tzenua, and she's a chachemis, and all the rest, and then mechem, she'll find an appropriate chusin. So, it's not biyodi to actually marry her off. However, it's biyodi to make her into an attractive young lady for young men to be interested. That's invited lamdi unus minolan. What does that mean? How do we know that there's a mitzvah that a person should go and teach a son a trade? What is derived from this pasuk? Rashi said that the word chayim over here is referring to an unus shetichya boy that you're going to be able to go and live with. And the pasuk says in isha. So the Gemara says now that the word isha has two interpretations. The pasuk shorkat is in isha mamishi. We're talking about a wife. Shem shechayv lasi isha. That the pasuk is making a hekish from isha to chayim. It's just like by isha we said there's a mitzvah to go and marry off his son to go and lasi isha. So also chayim, that's the umnis, that's the trade, is also the same thing. Chayv lasi isha kachayv lam the umnis. However, there's another taich of the word isha that it means Torah. That would be similar to a shira shirim, that you love for Kodesh Baruch Hu, you love the Torah like loving a wife. And Torah, if the reference here to isha is Torah, then Vayta Chaim is like Torah. Shem Shachav Lam the Torah. Chachav Lam the Unus. So either way, when you learn isha means woman, means wife, or whether it means Torah, either way, since the father has a chiyuv lasiya isha lam the Torah, he has now a chiyuv also a chayin to teach him a trait. The Eish Om Av Leshita Menor, to teach him how to swim, my time, he needs that for his life. We don't do that much traveling nowadays on boats and on ships, because today we can go and take trains, and we can go and take cars, we can go and take flights on airplanes. But in the good old days, many times from one town to the other, the only way to get through would be to take a boat or a raft or whatever. They didn't have fancy bridges. He didn't have other ways of circumventing the waters. So therefore, if you were on boats frequently, you have to show them there was a hole in the boat and it capsized. Right? And therefore, chiyusi, so necessary for his life. That's why you got to teach him how to swim. My father, Zechan Debrucha, types this a little bit, Bederach Drush, and he would say Afleshita Menor means you have to teach your son to swim against the current. To swim with the current is easy because the current is going to go and
carry you.
However, to swim against the current is much more difficult. And of course, we don't mean just against the current of the waters, it means the current of the times. That if the modern day culture is against the Torah, you have to teach him how to swim in that culture, against the culture, and be able to vanquish the Yetzirah, etc. Doesn't mean mamish if you don't teach him an umdus that you're teaching him to be a thief, but kilu because if he's not going to have anything else to do and he needs to support himself and his wife and his kids, Master Shalom, he's going to engage in thievery. What is Rabbi Yehuda adding? In other words, the Tanakam already said it's a chiv to go on the lam di umdus. So Rabbi Yehuda is now emphasizing and saying, hey, you better, because chulila otherwise. So what is he adding? My benayu, yekim benayu de agmarei iska. What means agmarei iska? So Rashi says, what happens if he taught him schoira? Look at the Rashi iska. About how it's parallel to the first wide line, the middle wide lines in the Gemara. My benayu, my kamoisef Yehuda iska im lomdoi schoira. What happens if he taught him schoira like? On 47th Street, he taught him the diamond trade. Tanakamar had him the chayim. He taught him something to go and give him life. In other words, he gave him support. Rabbi Yehuda, the Asil the Taima umnis davka. Rabbi Yehuda, the Asil, when he's coming to add umnis davka, a trade, a profession. It's all very good when the diamond trade is
healthy.
It's healthy, it's vibrant, it's full of life. Good, so he'll engage in that business. But what happens if the diamond trade, unfortunately, is hitting rock bottom and there are not too many customers and people are not interested, so there's no business to go? So you should go and teach him a trade. They always should have something to fall back on in case the regular business.
I've taught him how to be a diamond cutter, and I'm going to teach him a second trade.
No, you're diamond merchant. Schoira is merchandise.
Mm-hmm. A cutter is, in fact, the trade.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, that's it. In case he can't go and sell, at least he should be able to cut diamonds and make money as a salaried employee. So at least have something to fall back on. Komitz av al haben. So remember, we started off the Mishnah, and it had two expressions. Started off kol mitzvah ben al av, and then we had kol mitzvah ha'av al-aben. And when it comes to mitzvah ben al av, we said anoshim chayav and anoshim p'turay. Kol mitzvah av al-aben, echad anoshim yechad anoshim chayav. So there's a major difference between one and the other. Here the women are p'turay, here the women are chayav. But the question is, what means mitzvah ben al av, and what means mitzvah av al-aben? So we already explained yesterday, mitzvah ben al av means the mitzvahs of a son which are incumbent on the father to teach his son. Or to do for his son, like lemoilin leftoisa lasiisha lamilnis, all those things that we learned yesterday and today. So those are the mitzvahs of ben al av. But now we have the reverse, the mitzvahs of al ha ben. Now what does that mean? The Gemara, of course, is going to conclude that means the mitzvahs that a son has to do for the father, chief being kibud av v'ein and yiras ho'av yo'ein. Very good. But the Gemara, at least initially, is asking the same question that we started off with yesterday. What does it mean, kol mitzvahs or aval ben? Maybe that means that the mitzvahs that the son has to do for, that the father has to do for the son, like the moilu luftoisai. But that's going to be a problem because it's in the Mishnah echad anoshim v'yechad noshim. Women do not have the mitzvah of the moilu luftoisai, like we said in the Gemara yesterday. So getting back to our Gemara today. Remember the break. All those mitzvahs that a father has to do for the son, those are the five. The moil of toys, like Gemara is going to say in a moment. Nashim chiyavis, women are old, so mechuyev. What time will the brayso? Oh, av chayv b'noy the moil of toys. Of in my life, only the father and not the mother. And you remember we learned yesterday. How do you know that Taka? She doesn't have the min of mila. So Gemara said because it says siva oisai elikim vayavram avinu oisai v'loy oisah. And Toysa says, why don't you say because it's a mitzvah aseishas man grama. And Toysa said until
it continues after the
eighth day. What about at night? Goes good to man yomad even at night. You have the mitzvah la'achar the eighth day. Eighth day has to be dafka b'yoy mashmini yimog sarah lasa. But after the eighth day, there's a machloikis. One man yom holds, you can even go and do a milah at night. So it's not no longer a mitzvah of man ram. Lefdoisai is the same thing. It's interesting. Rashi yesterday said on lefdoisai, I didn't point it out yesterday, but with Rashi yesterday, lefdoisai of course is on the 30th day. And if you look on Rashi in Chof Tes Hamad Aleph, the Rashi v'i minolim b'le mechayva. It's Rashi 7-8 lines before the end. Where Rashi is talking about pidyon, the v'ena mitzuva, the v'ena mitzuva of doisa, the v'chor menecha, the v'im tiftan afsha, etc. And then going all the way to the end of the Rashi, says Rashi, v'hach, the mitzvah pidyon aben, is mitzvah asay she'ein hazman grama. Everybody knows the mitzvah asay she'ein hazman grama. Well, how is the mitzvah she'ein hazman grama? You have to do it on the 30th day.
Afterwards, after 8 days after 30 days.
Exactly. So it's the same territory as before.
The hachisa, the hachisa.
Very good. And that's why Tana Rabbanan, and the next bright says, who lived twice? When I lived twice. What do you mean, who lived twice? Should have done on the 30th day many years ago. And if you didn't do it, you still have a continuing mitzvah until the person passes away. You still have a mitzvah of the pidyon haben. Okay, so these are mitzvahs which are, so how do you know that a woman is part of the pidyon haben? Because of the fact that we had only those that are mitzvah liftei sesatzmam have to be part of others. It says tifta tibada,
and we know
she's not a parsha mila, she's not in the parsha of pidyon haben either, also because of benech, mechor benech, benei secha. So that was all yesterday. So that cannot be the pshat in our Gemara, because the Mishnah says the noshim chayavos v'tanya av v'leyan. So Rabbi Yehuda, fourth white line, hachik amar komitzas av hamutelis ala ben lasis li aviv, that the son has to do for the father. Echad noshim v'echad noshim chayav. This is not only mitzvah on the son, but also on the daughter. Tidin l'aratan rabban. We have a rai from a brisa. It says in the pasuk, ish imoy v'aviv tiro, ish eliyel ish, only the son. Isha minayin, how do I know Isha as well? Kishoim, it says, Tiro'u. If it was referring only to Isha, it'd say, Ish of the imay Tira. What's Tiro'u? Harikat Shnayin. So it's referring both to the son and to the daughter. Im kemat alim with Ish, so why did it say Ish? Ish sibir las is Isha, im sibir the last one, Isha rishus, acherim ulea. If she happens to be independent like the son, then she can go and do it like the son. However, a married woman, she has aegis on top of her, meaning she has to go and listen to her husband, and she has to go and take care of the kids and all the rest of that. So therefore, she doesn't have the same opportunities to go and be mechaved the parents, just like the son has that opportunity. So that's why the pasuk says, "Ish sibu biyada la'asayis." Isha ain't, but in fact, says the Gemara, Omer vina barab and omerab, niskarisha, if chas v'shom she gets again, and there's no longer reshus acherim oleha, ishneim shom, then both brother and sister, both son and daughter, have the same mitzvah, kibbet av, the daughter just like the son. So now this price is going to emphasize how Kibbut Av Ein is so important, that there's a parallel to Kaviyachal, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. And we're going to find that in three or four different areas. Just like you have to have a year of reverence and awe from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, same thing for your parents. You go and curse Chas V'Shalom when your parents, like Chas V'Shalom cursing Kodesh Baruch. But says the Gemara, Av Ba'akov Avad E'efshe, when you can't go and be Madama Maka and say, well, be careful, don't give a Maka to your parents. It's like giving a Maka Kodesh Baruch. How can you give a Maka Kodesh Baruch? Kodesh Baruch doesn't have, sorry?
He's intangible.
Intangible, he doesn't have any physical features. And the reason why the Torah, in fact, has this parallel of the kibud and the yira and the klola, the bracha, is because, in fact, the shloisha shutfim bai. What do you mean the shloisha shutfim? Tana rabban. Shloisha shutfim bai. There are three partners in the creation of a person. Kibud baruch mi, av mi imay. if you're mechabed your parents, since they happen to be the other two partners, it's as if you're mechabed me. Now, what do we mean that they're partners? There's a famous gemara nida that Rashi quotes, the last Rashi of the Amishloi Shifanei, the Farsh Brayz Lechitz Nida, Ish Mazria Loi Ben Shaboy, the fact that the person has the white skin, so to speak, that pigmentation that comes from the father, Ish Mazras Oidim Shaboy, all the blood vessels that are in the person, that's from the mother, that's the blood that the mother has, Baruch Hu goes and blows into him his soul, his neshama, the mar'ayin, ushmiyas oizen, the dibur, and all the senses that a person has, that he can see, that he can hear, that he can speak. All of that's the third shoot of that's a kodesh baruch hu. And mi'atsham, we're going to continue vayta and keep it av'ein tomorrow. Tanya, have a wonderful day. Zagi ben zatkis, and everybody.